Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
So, the biggest story this weekly, if we had an honest media,
yeah,
which we don't, would not have been the riots.
No.
The burning, the looting. That would have been number two, still a big story.
It would have been another form of injustice.
Yes, another form of injustice. And, you know, interestingly, ironically enough, a story about law enforcement out of control.
Yep.
A story about law enforcement breaking the law.
And more than just one rogue officer.
Yeah, many rogue officers with much more power than any individual cop has in any city. You know what the irony to me is of this George Floyd situation? I haven't heard anybody say this, but I've been waiting for somebody to. As horrible as that video was, terrible as it was, it proved the system worked.
Yeah.
They were already charged. I covered crime for years, murders, many of them in Charlotte. Familiar face down at the courthouse. I was there most days of the week. And when a murder would occur in Charlotte, including by the police, shooting, I should say, murder in
homicide.
That case, right? Homicide. It was not unusual for there were always initial, some initial charges. It was not unusual for the initial charges to take weeks. And the overall charges to take months, where they were waiting on people. I mean, they'd go get him, they'd charge him with murder one, then they'd downgrade. I mean, it took a while for them to figure out what was going on, right?
Right.
So this case, to me, was fast.
Yes.
It was quick. So, I mean, the system is working. Even the police officers who didn't actually step on George Floyd's neck, but were there and didn't stop it, have been charged.
Yep.
So to me, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, at the local level, the system works. I don't see a broken system. I see a deranged cop, but I don't see a broken system. I mean, this is if there were no charges, and these cops are just still walking around and they're still, going to work every day. Okay, I could see some of the anger, but it's the opposite. Everybody's walking around, system's broken, we got to fix. No, it's not broken. It's not broken at all. There's swift justice, swift charges. For these guys. So I don't see a system broken at all. The system that's broken is the federal system. And I mean, so if you're on social media and people say, well, Trump, was only put in office by the Russians, there was Russian interference, all that has been debunked in the last 3 weeks is gone. Didn't happen. And we just had a stunning thing this week. The biggest story this weekly was that the guy at the Department of Justice who launched all of the Russia investigations into Trump. Think about this. Who launched or signed off on all of the investigations into Trump, the warrants,
yep.
The Mueller investigation, all of it, just said it shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Just said if I had it to do over today and it was in front of me, I wouldn't sign.
And where are the headlines in the New York Times?
I know.
Where are the investigative reports? Where are the calls for people to resign or be, investigated or, to be prosecuted from CNN, MSNBC, and CBS, ABC? They're not there. They're not there. They're not there. They're ignoring this, for one thing.
So why? Why did Mr. Rosenstein, the deputy attorney general at the time, acting attorney general of the Department of Justice, the guy who launched all this from the Mueller investigation to his signatures on the FISA warrant that made it all possible. Why did he say that? Well, he's admitting that he now knows, I believe he knew at the time, but he's admitting that he now knows, well, that there kind of wasn't any evidence. There wasn't any evidence? No, it's worse than that, as Lindsey Graham and Ted Cruz pointed out to him.
Yep.
The evidence that there was fake, was false, and the FBI knew it. And we know the FBI knew it because of the Horowitz report. It was spelled out in excruciating detail. In order to get those FISA warrants, the FBI lied 17 times to the FISA court. That is documented, including one agent who altered an email to make it say 180 degrees from what it said. That's falsifying evidence. We all know what that is. And that is why Rod Rosenstein today said, this week said, under oath, he would not sign that warrant. It was all fake. And the guy who drove it, who approved it, who signed off on it, the highest ranking guy, just said it should never have happened. But that's not news. And most people have no idea. That's the biggest news story this week. And again, the reason it should have never been signed off on, because it was fake.
Well, also, not only is it most people not aware of it, many of those who are still denying that it's not true.
Yeah.
And will not. I mean, there should be a retraction from the collective American
Massive.
Media.
Yes.
Whether it's newspaper, websites, or television networks, there should be a massive retraction. Oh, you know this whole Russia collusion thing we've been telling you for 3.5 years? Sorry, folks, none of it happened. It was all made up. Investigation was for nothing because we had certain individuals within the Federal Bureau of Investigation and Department of Justice who lied about this.
Falsified evidence. Altered an email.
And I'll say this again, and I was glad about a month ago I started hearing some national people saying this. The Obama administration, up to and including President Obama, were involved in an investigation into a political opponent that was illegal and unconstitutional. That's what happened, folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You had the Obama administration, and that includes Barack Obama, that includes Joe Biden, that includes Eric Holder or Loretta Lynch, whoever the attorney general involved, all of the White House officials, all these folks knew about it. Everybody knew about it. FBI, DOJ, all of that. Obama administration was investigating a political opponent to influence an American election.
And Lizzie Graham managed to touch on this, too. The only evidence they actually had was the Steele dossier. And the FBI knew at the time that that was fake. Because the guy who gave Steele the information, the FBI actually went and found him. And he said, none of it was true. The FBI turned around, took it to the FISA court, lied under oath and said it was true. And that's why Rod Rosenstein, the guy who testified this week, said, knowing this all now, that the only evidence we had was fake. And yeah, the guy who created it told us it was fake. Oh, and it was paid for by the Democrats, too, by the way, in addition to being fake. That knowing all this now, the guy who launched all those investigations that have consumed 3.5 years, it was the hottest, the main, number one, most time spent on media story, it was all fake. What evidence there was fake, and it came from the Democrats. And the FBI knew it. And that's why the guy who signed off on it said, we should have never investigated Trump. Should never investigated Trump. Oh, and he also admitted that the FBI and the DOJ had what's called exculpatory evidence. That's evidence you're innocent. And they withheld it from the court. Mm-hmm. We call that framing somebody when the local police do it.
Also a crime.
Which is also a crime. And I mean, again, I try to put this in ways people can understand. I mean, if the Greenville police decided they were tired with dealing with crime, they were going to spend their time going after people politically they don't like. And since they didn't have any evidence, they just made some up. And then they went to Walt Wilkins' office and he decided he would work with them to frame those people because he didn't like them either. How would you feel about that this morning? Would you think those police officers and Walt Wilkins, and I don't mean to pick on him, he didn't do anything like that.
Yeah.
But would you think they belonged in prison? I think it'd be pretty clear they did. Well, that just happened at the federal level. And the guy who signed off on it just admitted, Rod Rosenstein, we should have never investigated Trump. I should have never signed off on it. It was all fake. I'm just letting you process that because it is a lot to wrap your mind around. I want to play this, Lee, because this, I mean, you know, there's so many historic moments from Watergate, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did we
remember it well? Watch the hearings. I remember that.
This 1 minute clip with Lindsey Graham and Rod Rosenstein should historically dwarf anything from Watergate. This is one of the most major pieces of U.S. history. Again, makes, as Ted Cruz said, makes Watergate look like a joke. This 1 minute clip, one of the most stunning in all of U.S. history, for the guy who signed off on, supervised, and made all these investigations of Trump to admit they never should have happened. Not only did we have no evidence, what evidence we had was falsified by the FBI and the DNC, and everybody knew it.
Have you looked at the Horowitz report?
Yes, I have. I have it with me, Senator.
If you knew then what you know now, would you have signed the warrant application?
No, I would not.
And the reason you wouldn't have is because Mr. Horowitz found that exculpatory information was withheld from the court. Is that correct?
among other reasons. Yes.
Yeah, and somebody actually altered an email.
Correct.
Right, right. So there were 17 violations that Mr. Horwitz found, but I can't stress enough to the country that he found the most egregious of all, the dossier, was the only reason the Carter Page warrant was issued to begin with. And in January 2017, the man who provided Steele with all the information told the FBI it was a bunch of garbage and they used it twice more. What kind of country is this? What happens to people who do that? Did you know that? You didn't know that, did you?
No, sir.
I'm not sure I believe that either.
Uh-huh. Well, see, the problem there and the reason you can't believe what Rosenstein is saying is that he signed a line, and under the line it said, verified under penalty of perjury, and he signed his name. Yeah. So right there, Rod Rosenstein just admitted he committed perjury before the FISA court. Again, that's a felony. Carries 5 years in prison for each count. There's at least four. You know, it's funny, the Democrats are usually so into sending you to prison if you lie to Congress, aren't they?
Sure are.
They're really big into that, like with Roger Stone. It'd be interesting to see if Rod Rosenstein goes to prison.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A lot of you reacting to Lindsey Graham. Texter writes, will Rod Rosenstein go to jail? Probably not. See, if Rod Rosenstein was a Republican and he'd done this to the Democrats, to a Democrat president, the media would be screaming the obvious this morning. Rod Rosenstein just admitted he perjured himself before the FISA court. That is a felony. Because Rod Rosenstein said, yeah, you know that part about the only thing the FISA application was based on was the Steele dossier and the FBI knew that was fake. Yeah, that part. Yeah, I didn't know that when I signed off on it. Problem is, when you signed off on it, you signed that you did under penalty of perjury. You said you'd verified it. You just admitted you didn't. Verify it. Which is it? So Rod Rosenstein was faced with a terrible choice. He could either admit perjuring himself to the FISA court, which is a felony, or he could perjure himself to Congress, also a felony. Unless you're a Democrat, which he is, in which case they're not. Texter writes, sounds like Graham had coached him, coaching him through this to me. I think they mean sounds like Graham is coaching him through this to me. Now the texter writes, what kind of leading question was that? You didn't know that, did you? Now the texter writes, the most stunning thing to me about the hearing, the way Lindsey tells him his answers, how to answer the question. Yeah, let me tell you what. Lindsey Graham is terrified of this whole thing. He didn't want to do these hearings. He promised them for a year and a half and never did them. Wasn't until Maria Bartiromo rang his bell. That he did them, and he wouldn't have done them then if it weren't for me sitting here screaming days before the primary. He had to hold them, and he had to hold them before the primary vote on June 9th. He did. He had to hold them. People know. They're calling his office. You could tell he is terrified. It's like he's holding dynamite. Why would Lindsey Graham be afraid? Let's use facts. I know why I didn't want to hold those hearings. They have everything on him. Now they got the whole file. See, that's how it works in Washington. Oh, come on, Tara. That's a conspiracy theory. They didn't spy on... Yeah, they did. They not only spied on Lindsey Graham, as reported by ABC News, and the Washington Post. They spied on his entire committee, including Dianne Feinstein, remember? And then John Brennan, the head of the CIA at the time, because the reason the CIA was spying on them was they were, the CIA was illegally going through their computers, all of them. Feinstein, who's a Democrat, Lindsey Graham, who's a Republican, was because they were investigating the CIA. Brennan didn't like that. So remember, they hauled Brennan before the committee. They asked him, you spied on us. He said, no, we didn't. Us, no. That was perjury. He did spy on them. We know because Brennan later admitted it. Brennan lied under oath. Wasn't the first time. They got a file on Lindsey Graham. They've been through his computer. They've been inside his computer. We know that. That's a fact. It's indisputable. Brennan admitted it while still head of the CIA and got to keep his job. You outraged by that? You'd let him keep his job too. Unless you were as pure as the wind-driven snow, which I bet you Lindsey isn't. Could any of us survive that kind of scrutiny? Somebody going through every detail of our computers? I'm sure they've got all his phone records too. They probably have his conversations. I mean, honestly, if the CIA is going to go through your computer to get the goods on you because you're investigating the CIA. At the time, Lindsey and Dianne Feinstein and all those on the committee were investigating the black ops sites that the CIA had, the rendition sites, and what they were doing there. Democrats and Republicans on that committee alike were outraged. They screamed about it, but they did nothing. How can they? CIA had all their stuff. That's how it works. Look it up. CIA spied. Lindsey was mad about it for 5 minutes at the time, but he didn't dare go any further. He knows they got the file. He knows. That's why I don't do anything. You want to know why Republicans don't do anything? You can't. They'll destroy you. Remember when Kevin McCarthy was the main candidate for the GOP to become speaker? Paul Ryan ultimately did. The reason McCarthy didn't become speaker was because somebody at the Department of Homeland Security, no one was ever arrested, released personal information that they'd gotten from spying on McCarthy. He was having an affair with Renee Elmers, another congresswoman who's since lost her seat. She was from North Carolina. Miraculously, both of them are still married somehow, but whatever. Republicans learn from that. Not only will they compile a file on you, they will release it. We still have no idea who did it. We know it came from the Department of Homeland Security. It scuttled McCarthy's chances for speaker. He's trying to get that back. Are you a Democrat? You going to say anything? No. Look what happened to Dennis Kucinich. The Obama administration got mad at him, remember, for criticizing their war in Libya. Kucinich is practically a communist. He's one of them. He's a Democrat. So what did they do? Recorded his phone conversations and leaked them to the media. Kucinich has ran in the Washington Times. So whether you're on the left or you're on the right, you know how this works. You know for a fact they've spied on you. Lindsey said as much. So is the Washington Post and ABC News. Brennan admitted it. I'd apologize. Sorry I spied on you. Not. They know there's files. We know there's files. It's out in the public. You go the wrong way. If you're a Democrat, you're going to end up like Kucinich. You're a Republican, you're going to end up like McCarthy. Does your wife know that fear you had? She will. Wonder what they have on Asper. Sessions? We know they've spied, folks. It's a fact. How they control them, which is why I said earlier in the show today, we know the FBI does not answer to Republicans even when they're issued subpoenas by Republican committees. So we have lost control of them. But I question, I'm not even entirely sure that the FBI or the DOJ answer to Democrats. I'm not sure about that. It may be the other way around. The Democrats answer to them. And so if you hear the hesitation in Lindsey's voice, he's terrified. But he's got to do these hearings before his primary, just to make sure there's not a backlash at the polls. After that, Lindsey Graham, the Democrat. June 10th, you're going to see that guy's coming back. You're not going to like him once he wins. All the hysteria in the country right now hinges on a couple of ideas. Obviously, the video of George Floyd with an officer's foot on his neck is outrageous. Without a doubt, it should make you mad. You should be outraged by it. But the problem is that we're taking a video and drawing wild conclusions. The officer must have done this because he was racist. It can't be for any other reason. One of the things I'm looking forward to finding out is whether he's done this before. Bet he has. Had an officer contact me and say that the foot on the neck is actually a restraint move they use. It's commonly used, but you're only supposed to use it for 10 to 15 seconds while you put the cuffs on. You don't leave your foot on their neck. This guy obviously felt comfortable doing that. So did the police officers watching it. Had they seen it before? Did he do this because he's a racist? That is assumed. It's a universal truth. Or was he just some kind of jerk? And if he'd done it before, who'd he do it to? I bet they know. He was awfully comfortable doing it. See, after we leave the video, we get to wild assumptions. Here are some of them. The officer is a racist. Maybe he is. We don't know that, though. And this happens to black people all over the country. It's got to stop. Well, happened to more whites last year than black people. This would not happen to white people. This is a black thing. This is a black struggle. Well, if that were the case, then it couldn't happen to white people. Except it did 371 times last year. White people killed by the police. More than black people killed by the police 235 times. And that's the problem. It's a big one. If what happened to Mr. Floyd could and does happen to white people, then this is a police issue, not a racial issue. Do we know yet whether this is a police issue or a racial issue? We do not. But here's what we do know. Justice is swift, and at the local level, the system worked. The outrage would be if it did not. The outrage would be if it did not. But it did. It did work. This is Tucker Carlson. I want to play this again because it's so powerful. Outlining the actual reality of police brutality and race in this country. You've heard these stats for many weeks now on my show. I'm glad they made it on the national stage.
Last year, the Post logged a total of 1,004 killings. Of the 802 shootings in which the race of the police officer and the suspect was noted, 371 of those killed were white, 236 were black. The vast majority were armed. Overall, there were a total of precisely 10 cases in the United States last year, according to the Washington Post, in which unarmed African Americans were fatally shot by the police. In two of those cases, in fully half, the officer was criminally charged. Is it possible that more of these officers should have been charged? Of course it's possible. Justice is not always served, that's for sure. But either way, this is a very small number in a country of 325 million people. This is not genocide. It's not even close to genocide. It is laughable to suggest it is. In fact, the number of police killings is dropping. In 2015, during Barack Obama's presidency, 38 unarmed black Americans and 32 whites were slain by police. Overall totals have fallen since then, and they have fallen far more dramatically for African-American men. Last year was the safest year for unarmed suspects since the Washington Post began tracking police shootings. It was the safest year for both white and black suspects. At the same time, this country remains a dangerous place for police officers. 48 of them were murdered in 2019, according to FBI data. That's more than the number of unarmed suspects killed of all races.
So what do we learn there? This is not an epidemic. It's not something that just happens to black people. It happened 370 times last year to white people, and we never saw a single video. Did you see a single video? All over the news? So if it could happen to white people, and it does not garner the attention it garners when it happens to black people, is this racial? Or is this a local police problem? Only in some jurisdictions. Only with some cops. Nobody wants to answer those questions. But the question remains, if this could happen to a white person, then is this, again, a racial issue? Well, the thing is, it did. You've never heard his name. You never will. His name is Tony Timpa. He died on video in almost exactly the same way that Mr. Floyd did. You ever heard of him? No. It was 3 years ago in Dallas. He pleaded for help on video more than 30 times as Dallas police officers pinned his shoulders, knees, and neck to the ground. They suffocated him on video. See, the problem is we're only just seeing that video now because it took a 3-year Freedom of Information Act fight by the family on the Dallas Morning News to get that full video. It's worse than that. Police reports were altered. They lied. Those police officers are still on the job today. 3 years later. Now, this has been a big story in Dallas. It was never picked up by the mainstream media. Tony Timpa is white. He's white. Riots? No. Where are the police brutality protesters? They're nowhere. His family, and to their credit, the Dallas Morning News has had to fight and fight and fight and fight just to get a file that they are entitled to have. Those officers are still working today, as they would be in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, if Mr. Floyd were white. See, so not only can this happen to a white person, it did. The reaction of the world in terms of caring, the reaction of the country in terms of caring, certainly the reaction of the media is snooze fest. Why? They're never going to tell you, because if this could happen to white people, the narrative dies. The narrative that this is about race, it dies. No longer useful. So Tony Timpa's death was completely ignored. Well, this breaking news is a disaster. If you're a Democrat, if you're one of us normals, wow. I mean, this is great news. Relatively speaking, okay? This just broke. All right. Do you want the good news first? I'm going to give you the bad news first, right? So we can end on an up note. The bad news is we still have the highest level of unemployment since the Great Depression. Yeah. That's bad news if you're a normal person and you live in a normal world and a normal reality where you want people to succeed. You don't like to see them in pain. You don't want them to hurt economically or any other way. So that's the bad news. But here's the good news. This was not supposed to happen. In May, employers added 2.5 million jobs. That was not supposed to happen. Suggesting that the underlying economic fundamentals of this economy are far stronger than we thought. And that is great news. On top of what happened yesterday, which had White House economic advisor Kevin Hassett's head spinning. He's still trying to decode it. I am too. The forecast job loss for May, since you know it's beginning of June, right? So we're getting all the numbers in for May. You don't get those till the month's over. The forecast job losses for May were supposed to be a devastating 9 million. They weren't. They weren't 9 million. Came in a little over 2 million. That's still a bloodbath, but nowhere near what anybody thought. And so Hassett was completely confused. He could not figure out how that was happening. And said so on Maria Bartiromo. We played it yesterday. And he said he's going to have to take a closer look at the numbers. Well, this must at least be part of what offset it. Nobody thought the economy would add 2.5 million jobs in May. I mean, that is, it's nuts. We still have a long way to go. But that is job creation no one expected. It's super exciting, and they're buzzing about it on Fox Business as they should be. It's fantastically good news. Which brings me to my last epic rant of the week. It comes from Steve Bannon. He lays it out like nobody else. The choice that we're seeing this week. We watched the launch into space. American technology by American private industry. Awesome. Gave you a chill. A sign of what we could do. Folks, things could be great. Things could be wonderful. We could be on and should be on the verge of a fourth industrial revolution. If we really wanted to do that, we'd ban every last Chinese product from our shores. Plenty of other countries can make that stuff now. Countries willing to deal honestly with us, not weaponize their goods. Steve Bannon lays out the choice before us, and it is stark, and it could be awesome. These are the two paths we have to choose from. You're watching them on television right now. I'm going to let him wrap the week up for you. He is the former advisor to President Trump, and he nails this on Maria Bartiromo this week.
Yesterday, I think you saw the two alternative futures for America. in the launch at in Cape Kennedy, you saw the opportunities to of America leading the fourth industrial revolution. American capital, American workers, American made. And it late at night, you saw what could happen of breaking down to anarchy and racial division. This is all incumbent. You talk about law and order. It's law and order predicated upon a robust economy. And this means American capital brought back to America to stop financing our enemies, bring American capital back for American jobs through American companies. That will make America the leader in the fourth industrial revolution. That is what this country needs. That's what the millennials need. I think yesterday's a great juxtaposition. We have two alternatives. And as Donald Trump says, nothing's inevitable. It's going to be human action and human agency that does that. I think it's now time to get focused on American jobs and bringing high value added manufacturing jobs back to the American people. If you do that, you're not going to have these problems in these cities. People are going to be too busy to do this. They're going to be too busy working great jobs with overtime that can support families and have a career, have a future.
Yep, and they were well on their way with the lowest unemployment records in history and the largest wage gains over the three-year period that we have seen since the 90s, in our lifetimes, basically, generationally. He continues, how can we have a fourth industrial revolution? I believe we can, too. I've always believed it.
Well, this is exactly what the president is trying to do in terms of moving the supply chains out of China, Steve. And we see all of this effort within the Congress to actually hold China accountable. They unleashed this virus on the world, accidentally or not. They allowed it to leave its borders. And then they cornered the market for the very products that that the U.S. needed, like the protective gear, and then had a whole disinformation campaign about it. And throughout it all, Steve, you just heard the Secretary of State. They are actually making moves, using this as an opportunity to gain more territory. They're on the border with India right now. They're militarizing the South China Sea. They're, facing down on Taiwan. And now, as you can see, breaking promises in Hong Kong.
Look, Senator Rubio and National Security Advisor O'Brien this morning showed that they've got their social media trying to stir things up here among these anarchists. Okay, it's very simple. Donald Trump went to the Rose Garden the other day. This is what the Chinese Communist Party has done in Hong Kong, is Czechoslovakia in 1938. We're at a seminal moment. We're at a crossroads. We either stand these guys down now, or we're going to be inexorably drawn into a kinetic war in 3 or 4 years. We have to stop them now. Donald Trump's the hammer. American capital and American technology is the anvil. We must, and I appreciate the secretary, he's been the best secretary of state in living memory, but the measured response is this: no access to American capital, no access to American technology. The Chinese Communist Party is an enemy to their people. They're an enemy to the people of the United States. They're an enemy to mankind. They have shown this by how they've done what they did on this pandemic. It's outrageous.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.